Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Chambers Creek. We're glad that you joined us here on Facebook this morning as we stream together, connect together. I want to encourage you as we worship the Lord to sing along with us. We have a screen now. It's going to have the words to the song, so let's go ahead and do that. So, Lou, if you'd come and lead us.
I can feel it coming over me, all the weight of what this fear can bring. I know on my own I can't survive, and I'm fading fast. And now I'm closing in on what's in store for me, all the rest in your security. I'm holding on to the words you speak, and you're speaking clear now. I'm running fast to seek your face. At first I dive into your grace. You are my fortress, you are the refuge where I hide. You are the strength when I can't fight. You are the only one I rest my life in. You are the only hope I find. You are my only peace of mind. You are the only one I rest my life in. Taking hold of what's in front of me, a place where I can rest my weary feet. There's no other place that I can go, so I'm waiting here now. I'm letting go of what the world will bring, a sanctuary that will never breathe. Found my heart in that place before, and I'll never go back. I'm running fast to seek your face. Oh yes, at first I dive into your grace. You are my fortress, you are the refuge where I hide. You are the strength when I can't fight. You are the only one I rest my life in. You are the only hope I find. You are my only peace of mind. You are the only one I rest my life in. And I get lost within that place, a place where I always wish I'd stay. You are the strength when I can't fight. You are the only one I rest my life in. You are the only hope I find. You are my only peace of mind. You are the only one I rest my life in.
Good morning, church. This is Jonathan sending you our love via the interweb this morning. I know this is different for all of us. We're all getting used to it, so please bear with us. If you experience technical difficulties, just know that we are recording this, so you can check this out a little bit later as well. So don't have any fear if it hiccups on you. It should be live immediately after the service, so around 11:30. You should have pretty clean and smooth sailing from there on if you have any issues. Know that we are here for you. We are praying for you and our community and our country right now and what we're facing. If you have any needs at all, we encourage you to put a note in the comments or directly message us or email us. If you have a specific prayer request, you can message that as well this morning. We want to, and we have people that can be praying for you even as the service is going on. So please know we want to connect with you. There's also a way for us to serve this community. On Monday, we have one more day of lunches we're going to be preparing for the students. That's from 10 to 11 is the preparation time at First Baptist, and then 11 to 1, they serve it at the park. However, you need to go to the Grandview Pastoral Alliance Facebook page because there's a sign-up link, and we have restrictions on how people can be there, so please sign up in advance to be a part of that. And then from Tuesday on, the schools will take care of lunches from there. So we are very blessed that we get to be a part of that. Also on giving, it's going to be a little bit different because we can't pass around an offering plate. So if we do have online giving now, we will post the link to that within the comment section here in just a little bit. But also you can find that in the email that we send out. You can still mail in payments, and we have a Dropbox right outside the church building. And so we have multiple ways for us to still be worshiping God through that. I know this is normally when we would break and go to our welcome time. So since we have some digital powers this morning, what you can do actually is drop a note in the comments right now saying hello to everyone. You can send a hug. You can send an emoji, some way of just saying good morning to everyone that we're here. You can also take a moment with us like we did last week and just be thinking about who you would normally be greeting during this time. And say a quick prayer for them. Wherever you are sitting at home on your couch, we are doing that right now, imagining this sanctuary being full of you guys, and we're very excited for when that may happen again. So just take a pause, a moment, to be praying, to be greeting, to be taking a note. I could probably do that here in this building in about 5 seconds with who all is here. Please just take that moment. This morning, we are making the most of this, right? We would rather this place be packed with you guys so we could see you and love on you. But God has given us a unique opportunity that you get to worship in your home. Your home this morning becomes a worship center. How cool is that? We pray that this whole week your home would become a worship center. If you're quarantined and confined, find a way to play some music in the background, creative ways to get God's word into your home, and take this moment, this morning, as a chance to fill your home with God's word and truth and with his praise, something that we can carry on throughout the week. So if you will, take a moment to make sure you have your juice and your bread because we're going to celebrate communion this morning. Go find something out of the fridge real quick. It's a tortilla or a piece of bread, some type of liquid. It could be water. It could be a juice. Whatever you've got on hand for your communion time, we'll do that here in just a little bit. I'm just going to stop here and pray as we kick off our time of worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would be with our church family right now, who is joining us digitally today. We long to be gathered together as a church family, and we know that you have a plan through all this. God, I pray that part of it is that you awaken a part of our church to realize that our home should be a worship center. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill the homes of those participating in Chambers Creek. Lord, I pray that your presence would be felt very clearly there in their homes. Lord, I pray that they would call out to you, that we would all be calling out to you for your relief in this midst of the pain that people are feeling financially, physically. Lord, we pray for those lives that have been lost through all this, that you would bring comfort and peace. Lord, I pray that your peace would rest upon the homes of those worshiping, that you would give us a reason to still be joyful. God, I pray that you would start something new here among the believers in Jesus Christ, that we would wake up and that we would serve you wholeheartedly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where do I go when there's no one else I can turn to? Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock I know that's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go into the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I hide till the storms have all passed over? Where do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation, go into the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Amen. That's good stuff right there. I have a few words of encouragement for you this morning. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to stay connected. Stay connected to our Lord, to our rock, through His Word, through prayer. Stay connected to Him and stay connected to one another. Get on Facebook or maybe pick up your phone and actually call someone or maybe actually send a literal card to someone. I mean, what a blessing that would be. But stay connected. Do not isolate yourself from other people like a hermit or something. Stay connected to people. And the next thing is to create structure. Create structure in your life. I know it can be tempting to want to sleep in till noon. Don't do it. It's as simple as getting up in the morning and getting in the shower. It's amazing how much better you'll feel if you'll get up at, say, 7 or 8 o'clock or whenever you normally get up, take a shower, and then have objectives or plans or goals for your day. Whatever they might be, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat this for lunch, I'm going to work on the garden, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to play a board game with my kids in the evening. Do those things and celebrate those things. So create structure and then finally serve one another. Find out what the needs of the community are and then go out and meet them. And it'll help you get your focus off of yourself in this current situation. And actually, it will bless you. It'll bless others. It'll bless you as well. So stay connected, create structure, and serve one another. And you're going to hear this over and over and over again because it's absolutely essential that we do those things. We're going to continue worshiping our Lord. So, Lou, if you would come.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever. Pardon for sin and a spirit.
So true, and something to really cling to as we're going through this together. We're going to continue worshiping our Lord by celebrating the Lord's Supper. And so if you would, if you haven't already, go ahead and get some bread, maybe some tortillas, grab some juice, grape juice. If you forgot to get grape juice, if you don't have grape juice, use orange juice, use some sort of juice. It's the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. So go ahead and do that right now. See, we have the communion set here, and I'm going to pass this out to the folks who are here. We are practicing social distancing, so I'm going to hand it out like that. But y'all go ahead and pass around the elements now. Our Lord Jesus Christ had gathered together his disciples. It was the night that he was going to be betrayed, the evening before he was going to be crucified. And he broke some bread and he said, "Take this bread and eat it in remembrance of my body being broken for you." And in the same manner, he reached out and he took a And he took this cup and he said, "This cup represents my blood, which is going to be shed, which has been shed now, for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you. We want to thank you for Jesus. As we take the bread, as we drink the cup, we remember, Lord Jesus, that you willingly had your body broken on a cross, that you willingly shed your blood for the forgiveness of sins, our sins, my sins, so that we could be cleansed, so that we could be righteous before you, God, so that we can spend an eternity with you in absolute perfection and glory. And so we thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, you promised that one day you were going to return and we would celebrate this again in your presence. And we declare we look forward to that day, Lord Jesus, when you will come back and we will have a huge gathering of all those who believe and celebrate your supper. So Lord Jesus, we ask right now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us from your word, which the Holy Spirit wrote through inspired men. God, speak to our hearts and minds, encourage us, fill us with faith, and give us hope. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I don't know about you, but it has been a challenge for me to stay hopeful, especially as I've watched the news, which I caution you when you watch the news to be wary of what's being said. I don't fully trust the news, to be honest, but as I've watched the news, I've struggled with being hopeful, and I've had to be really intentional about my thoughts, what I'm filling my mind with, and my actions, how I'm spending my time. I know for a fact that God is going to deal with this virus. I just don't know when. In Psalm 40, you see the psalmist crying out and basically saying, "How long, O Lord, as we wait patiently for you?" We don't know how long. We just don't know. And so, having said that, I want to ask you, what are you filling your mind with? What thoughts are in your mind? How are you spending your time? How have you been spending your time? Are you working? Are you caring for your kids? Are you fixing up the yard, the house? The truth is, we've been all knocked out of our routine. We're all off balance. We're off balance. We've been told to shelter in place. And I want to share with you this morning how we can take this time that ultimately the Lord has given us and uses as an opportunity. Not just a time to just try and survive, but a time actually to thrive. A time to thrive and to fill our minds and hearts with hope. And I'm calling what I'm going to share with you this morning quality time in quarantine. Okay? Let's have some quality time in quarantine. So turn with me in God's Word to the book of Psalms, and specifically Psalm 57. You see, King David is in quarantine. He's in a cave called Adullam, and it's near the Valley of Elah. And the Valley of Elah, if you go back in history, you'll see that's the very same valley where David, as a young shepherd boy, with his slingshot, took down a giant named Goliath, who represented the Philistines, and they all fled. He had done that, and yet now, right next to that valley, he's hiding in some caves. He's hiding in caves. He's quarantined in caves because there's this man named Saul. He's the king of Israel. And he has made some foolish decisions. He has chosen to disobey God. And God's prophet Samuel went to King Saul and told him that this kingdom that God has given you is going to be taken away from you. It's going to be given to this young shepherd boy, the one that slew Goliath. It's going to be given to him. David. You see, Saul had plans for his son Jonathan. He wanted Jonathan to become the next king, but God had other plans. God's intentions were for King David to become king and ultimately the son of David, Jesus Christ, to become the king. Saul would have none of that, and so Saul is hunting David. He's literally hunting him. He's got a hunting party together, and they're seeking out David, and they want to kill him. So David has fled to the caves of Adullam and put himself in quarantine, and we get to see what thoughts have been going through his mind and how he's been spending his time in Psalm 57. And the first thing that we see is David has been spending his time drawing closer to God. He's drawing closer to God. Look with me, Psalm 51, verse 1. David says, "Have mercy on me," or "Have grace on me, O God. Have mercy or grace on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. So that what we see David doing is he is literally kind of surrendering his life to the Lord. He's saying, "God, I'm throwing myself upon your mercy and grace." And if you think about it, where would you and I be without the grace of God? I mean, we are so dependent upon God. What a better time to reflect on the fact of how dependent we are. And to say, "God, I am throwing myself upon your mercy and upon your grace. I'm drawing close to you." And he continues, he says in verse 1, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until this disaster, this horrible time has passed." And it's this picture of this bird. Have you ever seen a mother bird taking its chicks and just hugging them real close? That's the picture. That's what David's doing. He's finding refuge in God. He's drawing closer to God. And the thing about drawing closer to God is this. When you draw closer to God, you start to sense God's presence in your life. you start to hear from God in ways perhaps you've never heard from him before. I read a story from Francis Chan about some missionaries from South Korea, and they'd gone to Afghanistan. And while there, they'd been captured by the Taliban. And they put them in these pits, and they covered up the pits. You know, I can imagine it's all sand over there mostly, so they covered it up with this sand-looking material, this canvas, so the satellites couldn't spot them. They hid them in these caves, and eventually the majority of them were released, survived. They were found themselves back in South Korea, and Francis Chan was sitting down at a dinner table with them, and he'd heard that they wanted to go back. And now he'd be like, what? Why in the world would someone want to go back to that? And the reason why they wanted to go back is, he said, we have never in our lives experienced the presence of Jesus like we were in those holes, like we were in that cave, like we were in that quarantine. Because they'd drawn so close to Christ. They sensed his presence. They were willing to go back to Afghanistan, get recaptured by the Taliban, and put in pits. Because they wanted to sense Jesus with them. They wanted to sense Jesus with them. And that's where David's at. He's saying, I'm taking refuge in the shadow of your wings. Until this passes, this is where I'm going to be. And so he trusts God to deliver him. He's depending upon God. He's finding refuge in God. And he's trusting God to deliver him from evil. Does that sound familiar? Because that's how Jesus taught us to pray. Deliver us from evil. And that's what he's going to say here in verse 2. He says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose or vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me. He rebukes those who hotly pursue me. King Saul and his crew. He says, God sends his love and his faithfulness. He says in verse 4, I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. I can only imagine what propaganda was getting put out there by King Saul and his men. The lies, the slander, the gossip that was going on about David, how evil he was, trying to justify their killing him. And so David is crying out to God for God to deliver him. And isn't that what God's people always do? I mean, I can imagine just reading this, Daniel in a lion's den saying, I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts. I can imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel who are facing King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's telling them to bow down, and they're like, no, we're not doing it. Instead, they're going to cry out to God. I can imagine Stephen, the deacon, who's about to be stoned because of his faith. And he cries out to God. I can imagine the Apostle Paul in prison awaiting execution. And he's crying out to God. I can imagine you and I in our homes, in quarantine, crying out to God, saying, God, deliver us from this evil. And I want you to see what happens as David does this. In verse 5, he says, be exalted, O God. Above the heavens, let your glory be all over the earth. What's he done? He has filled his mind with the Lord. He has filled his mind with the Lord. He senses God's presence. His thoughts turn to God himself, and he says, God, glorify yourself. God, glorify your name. And then he expresses his confidence in the very next verse. In verse 6, he says, they spread a net for my feet. They're trying to trap me. I'm bowed down in distress. They dig a pit in my path, but they've fallen into it themselves. He's saying, God, you are going to take care of me. You're going to vindicate me. You're going to protect me. You're going to deliver me from evil. So David is drawn close to the Lord. He's sensing and seeking God's glory. And now he's going to be expecting the Lord God to answer. He's expecting God to answer. And his heart is filled with hope. Look at verse 7. He says, my heart is steadfast. Or he's saying, my heart is firm. I'm standing on solid ground. I've gone to the rock of my salvation. I am standing, and nothing can move me, God. Oh, God, my heart is steadfast because I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in your grace. I'm finding refuge under your wings. I'm asking you to deliver me from evil, and I know ultimately, God, that you will. I know that you will. And so what's he want to do? He wants to break out in song. He says, I will sing and make music. Now, I don't know if he sings the way I do, but it's kind of like being in the shower, right? You're in quarantine anyway. So sing to your heart's content. Just sing it out to the Lord. He is in this cave. There are people literally wandering around trying to find him because they want to kill him. And he's singing praises to the Lord. I will sing, he says in verse 7, and make music. And look what he says, awake my soul, awake harp and lyre. I will awake in the dawn. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I can't wait to go to sleep and wake up the next morning before the sun even rises. Because I am going to bring in the sun. Here comes the sun. I'm going to bring it in. I am so excited. I am so awaiting God's answer. I'm so sensing God's presence. I can't wait to get up and to serve the Lord. I cannot wait. It reminds me of growing up in a church, and we would always sing every Sunday, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I can imagine every morning just getting up, praise God, you know, then singing God's praises. That's where his mindset is now. He's like, what am I going to do with my time? I'm going to praise God with my time. I sense his presence. I know his grace. I can feel his refuge and protection. I know he's going to answer my prayers. I don't know exactly when, but I know he will. And so I am going to sing God's praises. I'm going to do it. In verse 9, he says, I'll praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. What he's saying is, I'm going to sing out loud. He's actually saying, I've got such boldness now. Everybody's going to hear the good news. Everybody's going to hear me singing. They may think I'm a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for doing it. There's a virus going on. I'm out here singing God's praises. And yet here we are singing praises to our God. Because of his grace, because of the refuge we can find under his wings, because we know ultimately he's going to deliver us from evil. So we're going to sing to the nations. You know what? The nations need to hear the good news. When we sing, great is thy faithfulness, they need to hear that. People need to hear that. People are scared right now. Perhaps you are too. Well, sing, great is thy faithfulness, because you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. Sing it out loud. For everyone, he says in verse 10, great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. God, we are going to sing your praise. And then he goes back and he ends with the same thing he said in verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. And here's the thing. Don't miss this. He's doing all this in quarantine. He's still in that cave. He's not out of that cave yet. King Saul hasn't been dealt with yet. This virus isn't gone yet. And yet we can, in quarantine, spend quality time with our Lord and sing his praises, expecting, anticipating God's answer. We can do that. So fill your minds with the glory of God. Spend quality time with our Heavenly Father. Read his word. Break out the Bible, read his word, read it together as a family, have a conversation with God, pray to God, talk to God. He's your heavenly Father. And be bullish about God. To use a stock market idiom, don't be bearish towards God. Like, oh my gosh, God, this is too big for God. Be bullish towards God. God's stocks are always going to rise, right? Be bullish towards God. Expect and anticipate him to do great things. Why? Ultimately for his glory. And I believe that he will. So what's that look like in real practical terms? Talking to God. How about this? How about saying something like, Father God, please do what only you can do. Please do what only you can do. Heal our land, God. Heal our land. Deliver us from evil. Open up the businesses, Lord. Bring the kids back to school, Lord. Send them back to school. The kids are actually looking forward to going back to school. Save God is all. I know the teachers are too. They just had a parade in our town. I know the teachers are ready to go back to school. Praise God. Save as only you can, Lord. Do what you can do. Lord, fill our minds with your hope and your truth and your glory. God, we promise. We promise that when you deliver us, just like King David, we're going to continue to sing praises to you. We look forward to the time when we can all come back together and worship you together and sing praises. I think this place is going to be packed. And we are going to have a time of celebration for our Heavenly Father and what he's done. Because ultimately, he's going to remove this virus. I wish I could tell you when. I can't tell you when, but I believe that he will. But here's the thing, and never forget it. One day, our Heavenly Father is going to send his Son. And he's going to deliver us not just from the evil of a virus. He's going to deliver us from all evil, forever, for all eternity, for his glory. And we get to live with him in that. So I want to encourage you, as steadfast followers of Jesus Christ, draw close to God and expect God to do great things, because he's going to. I close with this thought. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says this: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone when they ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So I want to encourage you. Sing God's praises to the people, to the nations. Show them that you are filled with hope, not in mankind, but in our Heavenly Father. And they're going to ask you why. And when they ask you why, you tell them. You tell them with love, you tell them with tact, but you tell them the truth. I'll tell you why. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where I've placed my hope. And I hope you will too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, and we thank you for this story from King David, who's in quarantine, but he has found a way to take this time and turn it into a positive opportunity, God, to have quality time with you, to draw close to you, God, to sense your presence, to know your grace, to feel your wings about us as you shelter us and protect us, Lord, to know that ultimately you are going to deliver us from evil. And so, Father God, we confess that we are going to trust you. We are going to, with expectation and anticipation, look forward to you answering our prayers. We're going to remain steadfast in heart, God. We are going to be your people, knowing that you are going to respond to our prayers, that ultimately you are going to remove this virus. And Lord, we don't know when, but we believe that you will. And we're trusting you in that. And we promise to give you all the praise and glory when you do, Father God. So, Father God, show the world how glorious you are. We're asking you right now. Show the world how glorious you are. Do what only you can do. Get rid of this virus in a way that reveals that there is a living God who has a son named Jesus, who rose from the dead and rules over all creation. God, do something so amazing that we can't point to any one doctor or any president or any world leader. We can only point to you and say, praise God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So, Father God, we give you all the glory in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the glorious one. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for tuning in with us. I encourage you to get in the Word of God. Stay connected with the Lord. Go back through Psalm 57. I want to encourage you to stay connected with other people. I want to encourage you to create structure in your life if you haven't already. And I want to encourage you to serve others. So God bless you and have a great day.